Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchise entrepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Nick Bojovic, the president of Beef O'Brady's. And Beef O'Brady's is best known for its buffalo-style chicken wings. Beef O'Brady's has more than 263 open restaurants throughout the Southeast and the Midwest. And that's coming up on Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. Stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchise entrepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing fine this week, Marty. How about yourself?
Good, good. Another busy week, but kind of happy. You know, it's Memorial Day weekend, so I'm hoping to catch up on life a bit, you know. It's
right, have a few days.
Exactly, you know, it's unfortunately the baby's sick, but still, you know, it's just nice to,
right,
you know, put work aside for a day or two. You
right,
know
hopefully
I mean?
Get nice weather.
Catch
yeah.
up. Absolutely, you know. So our last show, Don, we met with Yen Young, CEO and co-founder of How Do You Roll. And if you missed this show from last week, How Do You Roll is an aggressively expanding fast casual sushi franchise based in Austin, Texas. I thought it was an interesting concept. They're a newer franchise concept, you know, which is always neat to have on the show. But he was a great guest, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I really like their business model, Marty, and their little niche with making it a bit of an experience of people going there, you know, preparing their
right.
own, making their own food, and obviously their specialty with this type of food is a real niche. So, and it's his
right.
background, you know, his family owning restaurants, I'm sure, helped him
yeah.
and his whole game plan to do this. So I think you and I both have agreed that we feel good about their future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting how he said he would never want to get back into the restaurant industry because, you know, he did it most of his life, you know.
Right.
So it's just funny how, you know, now he's doing this. And he had an interesting background, very, I think he was a financial planner. And I think he saw this opportunity and really couldn't resist.
Right.
You know, and I was excited when I heard about the concept, too, because my question was in the beginning, probably like a lot of our listeners, how do you franchise sushi? Because if you're a loyal sushi eater, I guess you can say, you know, typically the restaurant that we go to, Don, it's pretty upscale, you know, and it's pretty expensive. We try not to go to it that often because it's so expensive.
Right.
And it's like Yen said, you get dressed up, you know, and it's a nice day out. Or you have an alternative. You can go to ShopRite, you know, and get sushi there, you know, and it's not the same thing. It's just not the same quality. There was no middle ground in the world of sushi, you know, so... and they came out with this concept where I guess you like you can roll it and you can make like a whole roll in like I think it was like 2 minutes or something like that, which is amazing, you know.
Right.
And anybody can do it, you know. You don't have to have this background in making sushi. So I'm excited about the concept. I think it's going to be pretty big. I think, you know, and it's always nice to have some of those new concepts on the show sometimes, and say, wow, they got their start here on Franchise Interviews, you know. So.
Right.
Again, we'll keep our eye on them, but I would bet, you know, if we have them back next year, who knows how many they're going to have of these. It could be 10 or 20. Didn't look like they want to grow too fast either, you know, which
right.
always makes me comfortable too. You know, I think he said he wants to do this right. He understands that franchising, of course, is a relationship. And
well, he wants to find the right type of franchisee with high integrity. People with good
right.
work ethic, they believe in just betterment and improving themselves and the world, and he gave
right.
a pretty good answer to that. What was his one of their slogans? Make the world better one stomach at a time?
Something like that, yeah. It was very clever, you know. It was interesting, too, because he wants, it sounded to me, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the show again, but it sounds like he wants his franchisees to, of course, be passionate about sushi. You know,
right.
To really love the product, because if you don't like sushi, it's just not going to show on your face, you know. And I find that people who do like sushi, I know like your wife, she's a big fan, you know, you get passionate about the food, you know. And it's good for you
right.
too, Don. It's not, you know, it's not
right.
like going out for, you know, fried chicken or, you know, hamburgers and stuff like that, you know, not to pick on those guys, but...
yeah.
You know, that's the direction that the U.S. is going. So a lot more people are eating sushi every single year here in this country. So it's going to be interesting. I have a really good feeling about them. So
right.
we'll keep our eye on them, and it's great having them on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Good guy. We'll be back
yeah.
in touch.
You did. And what do we got going on today, Don? I think we have an interesting show again. We might get a bit hungry after today's show.
Yeah. Yeah, we're excited to have Beef O'Brady's on, the president of Beef O'Brady's, Nick Bonovic.
That's Nick, right? Yeah,
yeah,
it's I'm familiar with Beef O'Brady's. You know, it's as you know, when I was working down in Florida back in 1999, we had an office down there, and just very familiar with Beef O'Brady's back then. You know, so they're not
over
all
250
over
open
States.
Around the country. Over
yeah.
250 open. That's pretty nice.
It's amazing. I think they have a bowl too. If I'm pretty sure, we're gonna have to talk to
think about that. I think there was like a Beef O'Brady's Bowl, if I recall, hear something about that, you know, for college football.
Oh, right, right.
You know, so we'll, and it could have even been Rutgers who played in it. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah.
But we'll ask Nick about that. I'm sure he knows better than we do,
right.
You know, being the president of the company. So, and I know you had some interesting article this week. Was it from All Business?
Yeah, All Business. Sound regulatory policies are needed to spur franchising growth. Each spring, the president proclaims a National Small Business Week to recognize the contributions of small businesses to the economic well-being of America. According to the Small Business Administration, there are an estimated 27.2 million small businesses in America, with more than half of Americans either owning or working for a small business. Small businesses also create 60 to 80% of all new jobs in the U.S., drive innovation, and increase U.S. competitiveness. It shouldn't be a surprise that franchise businesses are a key component of the small business community, with more than 900,000 franchise businesses spanning the country. That number just keeps going up. I guess we'll be at a million soon, the number of total franchise businesses around the country.
Yeah, I have a feeling, again, because these numbers are not actually, you know, always up to date, Don. I think we might be, or if we're not, very, very close to that 1 million mark. You know, it's I wonder who's going to be the 1 millionth franchisee in the United States. They should have a contest or something like that.
Right, yeah, something interesting like that.
Sponsored by Franchise Interviews, yeah.
Right. Even better. But the ability of small businesses to grow and create jobs is severely threatened as the U.S. struggles to recover from the recession, of course. Lawmakers continue to focus on solutions that are slow to create jobs. As the largest trade association advocating for a healthy business environment for franchising, the IFA continues beating the drum for Congress to find solutions that do not worsen our federal budget and contribute to rising deficits. Instead, we contend that Congress should focus on policies that lead to increased lending and less government spending. Based on the experience of franchising, we firmly believe that policies to encourage lending will lead to more sustainable, long-term job growth. It's so obvious. It's such a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer.
We have to do.
I mean, especially with the success rates, you know, that we've mentioned on this show for almost 4 years now. I mean, again, statistically speaking, take a franchise versus a non-franchise, and the statistics do show you that in most cases, it's certainly more successful. So you think they'd pay a little more attention to that, don't you think?
Right, right. And just the first stat I mentioned, a high percentage of all new jobs come from small business, period.
Right.
Everybody knows that. That should be the focus.
Exactly.
Currently, Marty, there are several bills being debated in Congress to seek to spur job creation, and IFA is working with senators and representatives for inclusion of key provisions that would make more credit available through government loan programs. One program is to increase the maximum loan amount on the SBA 7A loan up to $5 million, and then the SBA 504 program, which is more asset-based, to $5.5 million. To continue to extend the 90% loan guarantee rate, that's so lenders get a higher with a higher default. The 90% guarantee gives the lenders protection in case of a default, so it gives the lenders incentive. Given the extreme difficulty many aspiring entrepreneurs are facing in this economy, this increase will allow more individuals to get off the sidelines and access to the startup capital they seek. The need for more access to credit in the industry is immediate. I mean, obviously, this is something that, you know, should have been main topic a year or at least 6 months ago, minimum. So they talk about, I guess, as he's been meeting with leading franchise business CEOs at roundtables in major cities across the country, the availability of credit remains the number one issue. To help push the legislative efforts over the finish line, we're encouraging our members to aggressively contact their members of Congress. I guess people can go to franchisingvotes.com to help in that area. To help get the message across to Washington, IFA has launched the latest installment of its public awareness campaign designed to highlight the economic impact of franchising on main streets across the country. Launched in 2008, IFA public awareness campaign builds on the economic impact data prepared for the IFA Educational Foundation by PricewaterhouseCoopers, which illustrates that franchise businesses provide over 20 million U.S. jobs, generate $2.3 trillion in economic activity annually. So, I mean, you know, it's good to see that the International Franchise Association, our main group, so to speak, that's out there you know, just not on the behalf of franchising, but of the country, because obviously this is all about small jobs and people opening up businesses, trying to get to the right people to get these programs out there to have these small businesses, which it's urgent to have access to the capital in their early years.
Well, the problem, like you said, too, Don, you know, and we've spoken about this in the past, is it has to happen tomorrow, you know? I mean, it does have to happen right away. I think that's the frustration for everybody, you know? I mean, it seems like there's a lot of talk, and I know there is, because we were speaking about a similar story 1 year ago, you know, that all this was going on. So I think it's a frustration.
Right.
There was something interesting that you mentioned. It was about a month ago, and I can't remember the company. Let's see how good your memory is. They had the idea, and I wish it was our idea, that every franchise system, and there's about 2,500 to 3,000 here in the United States, give away one franchise for free.
Right.
You know, so that would be, let's say, 2,500 new franchises. How many jobs would that create, and the economic
right.
output? You know, how significant that would be?
Right, that might have been Subway.
Amazing. Was it Subway? I can't remember. Yeah, I'll have to go back again in the archives and listen to it, because I thought it was a great idea, you know,
right.
when I heard about it. It's, was it Houlihan's? No, it wasn't Houlihan's. I can't remember whose idea it was, but it's something that, I wish that I thought of, you know.
Right.
Because it is. It's a great idea. Franchising is very powerful. I mentioned this last week, several weeks ago, when we were driving down to, you know, the Jersey Shore. I mean, it's just amazing, some of those strips, you know, like, you know, your Route 35s or your Route 9s, how many, it's just franchise after franchise after franchise. I mean,
right.
it's incredible. I mean, it's just built that area up to, you know, all these jobs and people going there, and then the places are packed. I mean, you know, in your area, it seems like you open up anything in that area. It's
right.
like a gold mine, isn't it? It's just
right.
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, again, that's the power of franchising. That's not going to happen with a non-franchise business. You know, it's going to take years to get that brand recognition, and you're going to have to make a lot of mistakes to come up with your own system. So,
right, because all businesses are going to go through downtimes, and then what do you do if you're a non-franchise during the downtimes?
I think
the franchisors have
part.
Been through that, so they're going to have a plan in place to hopefully not have too much of a downtime.
Right. The franchise has a lot at stake, too. I mean, they're going to make sure that your business does not go down because, I mean,
right.
again, that's something that goes in the disclosure document, you know, and it's like having a bad grade on your report card, you know. So
right.
they do
Good
everything
point.
They can, of course, also to make sure that you're going to be successful. They don't want that to happen, you know. So
also in this article, Marty goes on, says, a new print ad features a McDonald's franchisee, John Earl, whose business office is located on Main Street in Marlton, New Jersey. I used to live in that town. With a headline,
right.
it's Main and Simple. The ad outlines how encouraging small business growth on Main Street is a simple way to grow jobs and economic growth. The ad also highlights IFA's theme, Building Local Businesses One Opportunity at a Time, which showcases the local ownership of franchise businesses and the opportunities franchising gives entrepreneurs to own their own businesses.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, and it's so true. Even what's going on here, Don, in Easton, Pennsylvania, you know, I mean, Easton was just kind of like a city that was kind of, I'm going to say dead for a little while.
A little
what
surprised,
I noticed
yeah.
now is it's on the main strip, though. I mean,
yeah.
it's you got franchises coming in now. Like, I mean, Edible Arrangements
right.
is there, and there's a bunch of others, you know, and it's just it's changed the whole strip, like this gentleman was saying, from McDonald's, the Main Street, you know, all the jobs, and now all the people that are actually crossing the bridge from New Jersey going into Easton for a nice night out, you know, it really is amazing.
Right.
You know, so it does. It has that power, and I guess that's the message that they're trying to send to Congress, you know, is that this is just is such an important topic, and, you know, we have to act now. You know, this has got to get done right away.
Right.
You know,
definitely.
I don't think the world can wait another year. You know, I didn't think that we'd be having the same conversation 1 year ago. You know, if you go back and listen to our archives from last year, sometimes it's a similar conversation, and I'm surprised that we're still talking about this, you know. But
right.
that's what's happening out there, you know. It's the marketing environment. So
Here's something, Marty, through fastcasual.com. This is interesting. Maybe something we should speak to Nick about. Should fast casual, not fast food, fast casual operators add drive-thru? This is by Valerie Tillifer.
Wow.
While convenient drive-thrus have long been offered by quick-service restaurants appealing to time-starved diners, several fast casual brands are leveraging this add-on component to improve daily operations. Shane's Rib Shack has expanded its unit footprint and service model through a move designed to take advantage of freestanding restaurant locations. The company is also looking at those locations as an opportunity to add drive-thru service. Shane's Rib Shack founder, Shane Thompson, said the drive-thru offering has increased average unit volumes and opened up doors that we thought were there. This is going to be a great path for us to go down. The freestanding units are converted quick-service restaurants and are generating up to 30 to 50% more sales by having the drive-thru. Other companies like Brugger's, McAllister's Deli, Schlotzky's are also operate locations with a drive-thru component. I think they scale down their menu a little bit for people going through the drive-thru, but basically, I'm surprised it hasn't happened in the past, I guess. Every business has to look for ways to increase sales and convenience for people, let's face it, nothing negative to fast food, but your fast casual, you're probably going to have, a higher quality food. A family might want to get more of a meal, maybe not something from sometimes a fast food restaurant. So I can see where that can be working.
Yeah, no.
You see how I was careful in my wording and all that?
You were very careful. I noticed that. Right. You sound like a lawyer talking. You know? It's funny. It's interesting. I mean, what you do say, I mean, it does have a lot of validity. I mean, yes, your fast food joints, and again, very, very successful in the world of franchising. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of times, Don, that just, it goes right in the deep fryer, doesn't it? You know, I mean, you cook the French fries in, 20 seconds or 15 seconds, and they taste great. But, excuse me, again, I don't think they're as good for you as, like, a fast casual place, you know what I mean, where they're cooked in a different manner. So, I mean, right. I like the whole drive-through concept. It makes sense. I know when Starbucks, and again, Starbucks is not a franchise, but I think when they were considering the idea, they weren't sure it was going to work either, because you have to remember, Starbucks is an experience. I mean, when you go in, there's a lot of reasons people go to Starbucks. It's not just about the coffee. You know, there's other factors that come into play. But when they open up their drive-thru, I think they were surprised, or maybe pleased is probably a better word, at the success of their drive-thru. I mean, look at McDonald's.
Right.
I mean, their percentage of sales for the drive-thru, I don't know what it is, Don. I heard numbers like as high as, like, was it 25 or 30% of their sales come from the drive-thru? I mean, that's amazing, if you think about
it.
So, yeah, I mean, and we asked Yen that question last week. I said, would you ever consider a drive-thru? And who knows? I mean, if he sees, other people doing it, I mean, that's what competition's all about, isn't it? I mean, you see someone doing it, you see it's successful, and you say, you know what, maybe we should be getting into this.
And here's another company that's trying to be competitive. This is through the Salt Lake Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
I only stayed up to about 1:30 last night getting this article. But they're slashing their franchise fee, $20,000. Memphis-based company said it's selling franchise licenses for $5,000, a savings of $20,000 over the previous standard. But the depressed retail real estate climate, better locations are available at significantly lower lease rates than we have seen in more than a decade, said Scott Baird, regional director of market development for Fantastic Sam's. We want to do everything we can to leverage this opportunity and expand. So the franchisees still have their standard startup costs going through the process and training. They'll still aid the franchisees with site selection, lease negotiations, and everything else. They're just, I think that's a pretty nice incentive.
I totally agree. I think you mentioned one last week, too, that I was kind of surprised to hear. I think Quiznos is doing that now, too, didn't they? They dropped their franchise fee. I think it was to $5,000. It's amazing how much I learned from the show, just from listening to segment one, as far as, like, what's going on in the world of franchising. But that's amazing, and that's the power of competition is, you see Quiznos doing it, And all of a sudden, you said this was a fantastic Samsung done?
Right. Popular hair cutting salon nationwide.
We've had on the show before. I think that was probably like our third or fourth show.
Yeah, that's right.
That we did a long time ago. So it's amazing how many shows we've done up to this point. But, yeah, that was that's interesting. I mean, it's good to see. I mean, that's what I love about the whole competition in the world of franchising. You know, I think
right.
It makes people work harder. And the franchisers know, you know, that this whole thing trying to be passed in front of Congress, it's not going to happen tomorrow. So they have to do something quick, you know, and they have to
right.
you know, think outside the box a bit and say, okay, what are we going to do to bring in new franchisees, you know? So, yeah, it is. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, especially with the good opportunities with leasing space.
Well, that's the whole thing, too, is, I mean, there's just some killer locations available out there right now, you know? And it's just some of them have just been sitting there for such a long time. I think a landlord is probably going to be willing to, especially, I mean, if you're going to get, like, a 10-year lease, done, you know, I mean,
yeah.
A landlord, I think, is going to give you a break, you know, and say, okay, well, how about I give you the rest of the year free, you know, it's June, you know, and,
right.
you know, we'll start your payments on January 1st of 2011. You know, we've seen stories like that going on right now, so it's interesting. It's really one of the best times to get into franchising, I think, because I think by the time it's set up, you know, you see we're getting out of this recession. I mean, there's things showing that, you know, the economy is starting to pick up a bit, you know. I mean, it's slow,
right.
but, you know, you still see activity out there. I mean, again, if it's so bad, I mean, why are, you know, a lot of those franchises so packed, you know?
Right. Well, I just read an article, too. There's more people, definitely more people are going out, families going out to dinner, restaurants overall across the board are getting busier. So, yeah, there's some signs.
Yeah, absolutely, you know. So, why don't we do this? Nick hasn't called in yet, but I suspect that he's probably going to call in by the time we come back on the break. So we'll take a quick break here, Don, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Big now!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one.
Yep.
I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, thank you, John. You've come to the right place.
Okay.
And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Nick Bojcevic, who is the president of Beef O'Brady's. And Beef O'Brady's is the best known for its buffalo-style chicken wings. Beef O'Brady's has more than 263 restaurants throughout the Southeast and Midwest. Hey, Nick, how you doing today?
Hey there, can you hear me?
I hear you great, Nick. How you doing?
Oh, great, great, great. Just for the short. Good to hear you guys.
Nick, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I think you actually know Don, don't you?
Hey, yes, I do. Hey, Don, how are you?
Doing great, Nick. How about yourself? We really appreciate you having you on today.
Uh-huh.
And we look forward to hearing about the Beef O'Brady's story. It's pretty exciting.
Well, great. Well, thanks. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Nick. Nick, we always like to ask our guests where you're calling from this morning.
Tampa, Florida.
Oh, nice. I guess it's getting hot down there?
Yeah, we're getting into our late spring, early summer cycle of high humidity and rain, but we had a few good weeks of spring, and we're kind of getting into the summertime, so it's definitely starting to get a little toasty.
That's fantastic.
Where are you guys based?
Well, I'm in Pennsylvania, Nick, and Don's in New Jersey, and it's pretty hot up here as well, you know, it almost feels like summer, but I guess it's appropriate with Memorial Day
coming up
this weekend, you know, so hopefully we can hit the pool, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Nick, we always like to ask our guests, you know, what were you doing before joining Beef O'Brady's? I know you have an interesting background.
Yeah, I've been with Beef for about 12 years, and prior to that, I've really been in the restaurant industry my entire career. Went to Cornell for hotel restaurant management, worked for Chili's, Applebee's, Famous Dave's in senior positions, and then joined Beef's in 1998 as the Vice President of Franchise Operations and Sales.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I also Nick went to school for hotel restaurant management, and Cornell was always considered one of the top programs in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Applebee's, that's been a favorite place of ours where we live. But, wow, I didn't realize you've been at Beef or Brady's so long.
Yeah, it's definitely been a great run, and certainly I do a lot of guest lecturing at some of the other schools, FIU and University of Wisconsin-Stout, and it's great to see a lot of good young folks getting into our industry as well. It's and also really, I think, what's happening with this chef-driven concepts on TV. You see a lot of folks kind of rallying and looking at the food service career, catering events, and things like that as a long-term career, which is great for our industry.
So when did Beef O'Brady's start franchising? Tell us a little bit about the history of the company.
Sure. Beef's was founded in 1985 by a fellow named Jim Melody. He was from Pennsylvania, moved down to Tampa, had no goal of creating any kind of chain at all. He just was trying to pay his bills, put his kids through college, and he had opened up Beef. It was going to be steak and french fries. And in 1985, this is our 25th year. We're having our 25th year anniversary this summer. And the steak didn't go very well, but Jim was from Scranton, PA, had one of his customers was from Buffalo, came down and said, boy, those Buffalo wings are just selling like hotcakes up there. And remember, back in 1985, you couldn't get Buffalo wings anywhere.
Right.
Now, Pizza Hut serves them, you know, KFC, Popeyes, Checkers, you know, so it's pretty become kind of ubiquitous. But in his day, he got the wings, and then he had a TV because he was there 7 days a week, and a local baseball player was drafted by the Red Sox, and his name is Jody Reed. And so some of the local coaches said, would you mind getting a satellite dish so we could follow Jody? And then next thing you know, the Yankees guys wanted to watch their game, so he picked up a second satellite dish. So Jim kind of, just by great entrepreneurial instincts, kind of backed into this family-oriented sports pub. And we came on board. We were Chili's franchisees. Chuck Winship and Gene Nippers were the lead guys, and we came on board in 98 and bought in with Mr. Melody as a partner and then helped grow it and up to the 255 or so stores today.
Wow, excellent. When you're out giving the speeches or just in general when people are inquiring about investing in Beef O'Brady's, how do you describe the franchise system to them, Nick?
Well, definitely it's an interesting, a little bit of a hybrid deal because we're primarily mom-and-pop operators.
Yeah.
75% of our owners have no restaurant experience, and so it's not necessarily a prerequisite. We have 17 second-generation owners where mom and dad opened it, and years later, now the children are running it. So we do call it kind of a legacy brand. We do really look for folks who have good business skills and good people skills. Years ago, our model was if you had $150,000 liquid, you know, we'd hook you up with the SBA, and they'd throw in the balance to get the $500,000, $600,000 initial investment. Right now, and I think we discussed this last time, but the funding is pretty much dried up on SBA. We're not really seeing a whole lot coming through. Last year we opened 23 or 24 stores. Maybe 20% of them did get conventional financing, typically folks doing their second or third store. So we're now, and one of the things we're going to discuss is trying to do these shutdown restaurants going into non-traditional to really try to take advantage of already built-out situations where you can get open for a total investment of less than $200,000.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, why not? We talked about that on the first segment. Franchises taking advantage of premier lease space and good deals and conversions
exactly.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, we've seen rents come down about 30%. We do see landlords getting much more aggressive with their tenant improvement dollars and really kind of working with good chains to kind of get get their centers, because the commercial folks have really taken a beating and they need to see their center's kind of getting re-energized as well. So that's the silver lining to this downturn. It's been pretty brutal. It's been tough for all casual dining chains, but if you are in a position to grow, there's some great opportunities out there.
So Beef O'Brady's really a neighborhood type, nice family atmosphere, sports bar, great food. I mean, that's really the...
Exactly. Part of our culture is to really get involved in the community. We sponsor, I think we calculated at one point we had over 60,000 little leaguers that we had sponsored their teams. Very involved with the local schools and doing, when your kid gets good grades, I'm sure your children are straight-A students, they come home with a Beef O'Brady's kids meal, things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marty, we'll give them more airtime because of the nice comment about the A students.
There
exactly.
You go. That 25-year mark, I mean, that's a milestone too, Nick. I mean, it's something, you should definitely, be congratulated on. I mean, what is that attributed to? Because I do understand it's a magic number, milestone number, in your business. You know, what is that all attributed to, all that success?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the very beginning. With the number of stores,
the
you mean, 20, or the...
The 25 the years of being in business. I mean, it's really a milestone number.
Oh, correct.
You know? So you guys should be congratulated on that. You know,
I appreciate that.
Number,
you guys are being too nice. See, it is. It was interesting. I was reading Peter Drucker. He actually said that the average lifespan of any company normally is in that 25 to 30-year range. And,
right.
And there's actually studies of, you know, how the life cycles kind of go up and down. And certainly...
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have some interesting transitions going on at Beast, which I kind of would, you guys kind of segue very nicely into it. Mr. Melody was a founder, pure entrepreneur, and he kind of had no vision of franchising. In fact, when we came on board, he had 30 restaurants. There were no franchise docs.
Wow.
It was all handshake deals. And so we came on board from Chili's, and we brought in some more systems and processes, which I think is the initial part of your question is, so we kind of were the group to take it from 30 up to the 250, 260. Recently,
right.
We just brought on board a new CEO named Chris Elliott, and he comes from Church's Chicken, a big, you know, the $1 billion.
Right.
And we see Chris as the guy to help take us to the next level. So to answer your question my usual long-winded way, really the key is to have a great team, but the execs
mm-hmm.
sometimes have to change and grow because you have different needs when you go from that 50th store to the 100th store to 150
True.
To 250. So sometimes you have to switch some of your key execs out, and that's kind of what's happened. Chuck, our previous CEO has resigned, and Chris Elliott's come on board to kind of help take Beast to the next level.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Wow. So it's an interesting transition, kind of a good and a bad, but that's part of life.
Right.
And to be around, you have to continue to grow and to, you know, keep improving your business model.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. How has technology played a role with Beef O'Brady's? I know it's probably a lot different from when you started with the company, I guess, 12 years ago, Nick. I mean,
sure, and I'm one of those
part.
Kind of dinosaur guys, and but I think that technology, really, you guys are the young blogs and all that, but I really think that is the future, is the social media. We now have a database with 160,000 of our customers through a company called Fishbowl, which allows us to communicate directly. One of the neat side benefits has been the ability to do research and get customer feedback almost instantaneously. At one point, Beast, for the first 23 years, we were beer and wine only. We felt, well, liquor, you know, we don't want those young guys in there getting drunk, and so it was kind of taboo. Well, we did a survey. We had a survey. We offered $5 gift certificate, and we maxed out the survey 5,000 responses within 24 hours. I mean, it just the ability to get that kind of information that rapidly through the internet, and ultimately 97% of those folks said that they didn't have a problem with beef serving liquor as long as, you know, done properly and not out of control. That's just amazing for me, and I do believe that from a technology, we are getting the POS systems. We are trying to work on getting better data for our franchisees. I really see the biggest impact really more is on the marketing side. And I don't know if you guys agree with that, or are you seeing some of the other folks that you interview have seen better application. But really right now it looks like the restaurant industry, if you go in our kitchens, very similar operations to what you may have seen 20, 30 years ago. There's some new equipment for the most part, and there's the POS systems and printers. But for otherwise, it's, you know, the fryers are fryers, griddles are griddles, and refrigeration is refrigeration. So it is interesting. Our industry has not been kind of cutting-edge technology. However, I think the social media is really going to change the way we go about getting folks to come join us. And certainly, I think somebody told me Domino's had 2 billion or some huge number of text message orders. It's amazing how they're transitioning to that.
Yeah, that is interesting. And how big is the industry, Nick? I mean, you have any numbers for your specific category?
As far as the wing, kind of what we're doing?
Right.
Yeah, we are, for what we can tell, if you look at kind of sports and wings, the big player would be, now it's kind of getting close, but Hooters and Buffalo Wild Wings are the largest. They are probably in approximately 500 or 600 units each, and I think Wild Wings are averaging, I think, 1.6, 1.7, roughly the same for Hooters. And then we're, I think, in the third slot with the 250. And so the one thing we have found, which has been kind of tough, is we're not getting direct competition. What we're finding is we're getting a lot of other fast food, QSR, are offering chicken wings, which is kind of, you know, the sad thing is when we started Beast 25 years ago, wings were like a throwaway item, 30 cents a pound,
right.
Whereas last year's Super Bowl, wings were up around $2 a pound, were actually more expensive than boneless chicken breasts.
Interesting.
Yeah, so our market is kind of, you know, you see it kind of bleeding across, but certainly I would say on our end, I mean, Beast, we do maybe $200 million in sales. I think Buffalo Wild Wings is probably $1 billion. Hooters is probably close to it. So it'd be a several billion-dollar segment. And obviously, you guys know there's tons of those little mom-and-pop sports places all over the area.
Right.
Right, absolutely. Nick, yep. We have to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another segment?
Oh, of course, guys.
Thanks. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Nick Vojcevic, who is the president of Beefo Brady's. And Beefo Brady's is best known for its buffalo-style chicken wings. Beefo Brady's has more than 263 open restaurants throughout the Southeast and also the Midwest. And I think we just got disconnected from Nick a second, Don, so I think he's going to be calling back in. But he's saying some interesting information so far, isn't he? I mean, it seems like they're a fascinating franchise.
Yeah, also how businesses change. Whatever. A business goes through a change every 10, 20 years, and just, you know, look what they've done. They've had to bring in, they have a new CEO to take them up to the next level.
It's true. I mean, you know, I mean, with growth, I mean, it's one of the painful things I think about business, you know, is sometimes you can't handle it on a new level. You know, I mean, it is. As the company grows, it just becomes massive, you know, and you lose that mom and pop feel, so you need someone to kind of, you know, come in and take over. There's Nick. Hey, Nick.
Sorry about that. I lost you guys. There's some technical difficulties over here.
Yeah, Don, I think you're up. I think...
Yeah, Nick, talk to us about who some of your franchisees are, and what are some of the characteristics you look for as you keep growing the system?
Yeah, we had, I guess the one would come off first would be Don Bosco. Don would be your classic beef success story. He was the first franchisee, and probably 22 years ago, he was living in Brandon, Florida, which is where the first Beef was located, and was being downsized by Owens Corning. Had a family meeting, and they discussed about possibly Owens had offered him some opportunities in other markets, but the family wanted to stay in the Tampa area, and he approached Mr. Melody about being a franchisee, and Mr. Melody told him to take a hike. But he was very persistent and stayed with it and worked for free for a while and ultimately opened the first franchise Beef in Lakeland. And they opened up probably doing, I remember the story was he called Mr. Melody his first day and said, Jim, I only did $78 in sales. And Jim Melody started laughing. He said, what are you laughing at? And Jim said, well, I only did $40 in sales my first day. So Mr. Bosco is a very tenacious guy, and ultimately that store has gone from $20,000 a month to years later they did $200,000 a month, and it's been one of our top stores in the system. So he now has five Beefs, and his three sons are running stores. His daughter, Kara, just came back in. And, you know, not really a restaurant guy per se, but just a great business person. And his boys are out hustling every day. They have the largest email database in the system, and they have two of our top 10 stores are in their portfolio.
Wow.
So they've just done a great job. But your classic story of getting a family involved for a family business, and, you know, 20 some years later, you know, he will tell you how it's helped his family grow closer, and it's offered all his family opportunities, and just been a great thing for him and his family, and he's been a great asset to Beef. He was chairman of our advisory board for many years.
Wow. Do you want people to have food experience, Nick, as you're adding franchises? Is that a requirement?
I'm sorry, I lost you there a little bit. What was that?
Do you want people to have a background in food?
Well, that's interesting. We just had a kind of a brainstorming session, and you know, we've done research, and having a background in food helps. But what we did determine was there are four key personality characteristics, and we're struggling with how do you measure them, because some of them are somewhat intangible. But the first one would be just a hard work ethic. You know, the restaurant business is very tough, and early on you can't expect this to be a 40-hour work week with weekends off, and you have to be prepared to work 80, 90, 100 hours if need be initially. So that was the number one characteristic. Number two was kind of what you just alluded to, was that food experience. And what they said was, this is a group of franchisees that we discussed, not only just food, but business experience. The ability to run a small business, to realize, because some of our heavy restaurant guys have come in and they've struggled with getting the books done, getting their payroll done, doing the accounting, because when you work for Big Chili's or Applebee's, all those things are taken care of for you. All you focus on is taking care of running those shifts. And so we have looked at that having food experience or business experience really is crucial. And then we also felt that having a very good outgoing personality, and the fourth key thing was just a good energy level, because, you know, just restaurants are very kind of demanding from you can't just sit in the office and get the job done. You got to be out talking to people, going out in the community, got to be willing to work in the kitchen or whatever it takes. So those were kind of things we addressed. So the business, the restaurant's not a prerequisite, but it helps, but really more the ability to run a small business.
And how about training? I imagine you have a pretty nice
detailed
training.
Right, 7 weeks. Went to walk you through all, then we have 1 week before Brady's University. We also require franchisees to participate in somebody else's opening so they get to see how crazy it is. And we actually, some of our best franchisees have the better franchisees actually go through even more training. They work in the restaurants longer to really get their operation skills honed in.
Great.
Great. What's a typical day like, Nick, for a Beef O'Brady's franchisee? I'm sure, like, you know, Mondays are different from Fridays.
We do the bulk of our business, obviously, be Friday and Saturday. Typical day, they're coming in, and a lot of them will have, you know, managers opening or closing. And they'll come in, and typically their main thing they want to be there is when it's real busy, they want to be on the floor talking to guests, making sure things are running smoothly. Normal day, they get in maybe 9, 10 o'clock. They make sure all the orders are coming in smoothly, everybody's showing up on time, that the restaurant's, you know, clean and organized. At lunch, you kind of, you know, maybe you help out a little bit in the kitchen or doing some office work, but when lunch comes around, then we want them out on the floor welcoming, hey, Don, hey, Marty, good to see you. We really try to focus on that personal service, making sure things are running smoothly. You know, if they have to jump in the kitchen to help out or greet some guests, I mean, they're very hands-on. after the lunch rush. They kind of cut the staff down, kind of trim your labor back, and kind of get ready for the dinner shift. Hopefully they're going out in the community, visiting a few businesses or little leagues or schools to try to keep building that part of their business up. Back in the restaurant for dinner. You know, there's the dinner rush, and then usually they wrap it up and let one of their key managers or employees close the restaurant down. So normally it's a, you know, you get kind of a 5 or 6 day work week, and then your slower days are usually with the days you take off, or Sundays or Mondays or Tuesdays, or and then as the stores grow and get better and your employees kind of solidify, you know, we have some folks who, if they want to go play golf in the afternoon or take a day off, I mean, they start seeing that flexibility as the crew matures and they can kind of start running the show themselves.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
What types of new venues are you looking to open for Beef O'Grady's locations, Nick?
Great question. We really have had great success, and we are trying to push what's called in the industry non-traditional. We have three of them. Two are fairly common. One, I think you guys would agree, is the first ever done in the United States. The first two is we've done hotel targets, where hotels traditionally lose money in their restaurants, and we now have four hotel Beef O'Grady's that have all worked out very well. We're continuing to push that Holiday Inn, Tradewinds Beach Resort in St. Pete, Best Western Hotel in Brandon, Florida, and then we're also in Admiral Hotel out in Dallas, Texas. Number two, which we love, is Aramark Food Service, which is a multi-billion-dollar operator in universities and campuses. They put a Beef's on their University of South Florida location, and it's been doing well. We're hoping to do some more sites with them as well. And then finally, we have done a Beef's in a golf course. We think it's the first chain restaurant ever to open in a country club. It's a Brooklyn Creek Country Club in Palm Harbor, Florida.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So we are looking at those opportunities, and we are actually in discussions with other similar type operations as well.
Now, so what do you think the main advantages are for putting them in there? I guess you already have an existing, going into the colleges. I mean, that seems like it's always traditionally done well with franchise companies.
Correct. I mean, a couple of things. One advantage is that typically there's already built-out equipment, and they have facilities that are ready to roll. Number two, what I love is all those locations have somewhat of a captive market. You know, the hotel guests are clearly would rather eat in the hotel restaurant if it's a good one. On the university, we are the only full-service restaurant on University of South Florida campus. And at the country club, obviously, if you're golfing, we're it. You know, we're on the golf. We have the carts, that's the beverage carts, in addition to the clubhouse. So, you know, I do like the fact that we have somewhat of a captive market in all those situations, and then the local traffic kind of, you know, is ancillary to that as well.
You know, you got to come to New Jersey and PA, Nick.
I tell you, I'm from Pittsburgh originally. We love those markets. The only problem is liquor licenses are extremely expensive.
Right.
And I think that hurts those states. One of the nice things is it kind of limits competition, but the backside is it's very difficult for other folks to come up there and open businesses to employ more people.
Right, yeah, it's an interesting
point. I'd like
to
get up there. I'm a Pittsburgh boy, and I was just up in Maryland last week for my nephew's first communion. We love it up there.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. What about the Beef O'Grady Bowl, then? Could you tell us something about that, like becoming a sponsor and how you got involved in that? It's pretty interesting. Don and I are both big marketing guys, so.
It was an interesting deal. One of my friends is on their board, and he had mentioned to talk to ESPN, owns that particular bowl, and I think you guys are where we had your boy Rutgers was in there last year, and they
did a great job.
So one of the things we're trying to do, and one of my frustrations is you know, Beef's, we have the 250-some restaurants. We have, 25 million or so customers a year, but mostly Southeast, and most of our locations aren't high profile. We're normally back in the neighborhoods. And so I'd be up there in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and meet with the Yankees, for instance, and they go, "We never heard you guys." And so the bowl was, my thought was that it would put us on a national consciousness level, really from a brand perspective, get out there where we are kind of known by everybody. And last year was the St. Petersburg Bowl presented by Beef O'Grady's. This year it's going to be the Beef O'Grady's Bowl, and we're hoping that we will kind of cut through the clutter of all those ads out there and really allow folks to understand Beef's and get to know us better. So it's a big investment, and I'm hoping it'll pay off, because that was my name's on that one.
Well, it sounds like it's a good one.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and yeah, we were nationally televised. I don't know if you saw that CNBC picked up the fact that our Google hits quadrupled. We were the behind Tiger Woods. If you remember, he was going through his trauma there. We were the second leading hit site after Tiger, and you know, clearly with the nationally televised event, you know, definitely we've had anecdotally from our franchisees that we had a lot of folks who were inquiring about beefs and kind of did notice the game. So hopefully, even this year will be even more front awareness, because it'll be the whole way through the bowl season to be discussed leading into the games.
Right.
Love to have you guys come down. We'll get you some tickets.
All right.
I don't know if Rutgers will be in it again.
All right, Marty, we have this interview's taped, so he said free tickets.
We got you on the air saying that, Nick, so.
Let you guys down. It's a good time of year to be in Florida, because we were up in your way. We had 3 feet of snow up there, so.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
fellas. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming Beef O'Brady's franchisee? Is there any website that goes there?
Yeah, beefobrady's.com, and click on the franchise information. That's great. That's the best way.
Okay, fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Nick. You've been a fantastic guest. Don and I would love to have you back on the show towards the end of next year.
Thanks, guys.
Continue to grow.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You,
take
Nick.
Bye bye.
Great job.
Nick, have a great day. Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, good. Show went pretty quickly. They always seem to do when we have interesting guests and companies on.
Yeah, no, he was. I could have spoke to him for another hour or so. You know,
right.
He was a great guest, great personality. You know, and I've been following Beef O'Brady's for a while now. You know, again, it's just amazing how much they've grown.
Right.
You know, over the last decade. So it'll be great if they make their way up here too. You know, so A great show today, Don. Good job on segment one. For our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com, and we have another great show next week, Don.
Yeah, we got them lined up. An onslaught of great shows coming up, so great job.
Busy
you
summer,
also.
Yeah. So have a happy Memorial Day, Don, and for our listeners, have a happy Memorial Day. Safe, and we'll see you next week. Silver spoon in mouth, success was passed through bloodline.